like that. It's like that. James Harden is a sighting. I mean, my God, missing in action. We were wondering where he was. Well, he was found last night. So what does that mean for the Sixers, JJ? Don't answer. Not yet. Okay?
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. CP3, I'm telling you, one thing to be 37. It's another thing to suddenly look 37 after you've been looking 27 for the last few months. I don't know what the hell happened. But we'll talk about all that and then some. There's a new MVP in the NBA as well. And by the way, it ain't J.J. Redick. I know y'all want to say it's J.J. Redick. This is First Take, damn it. You hear me, J.J.?
I hear you. I hear you. Let's do it. Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Your boy knows what he's talking about. That's First Take's in the house. Let's go.
Good morning, everybody. Breaking news. This just in from our Adrian Wojnarowski, Denver Nuggets center. Stephen A. alluded to it. Nikola Jokic has been voted the NBA's most valuable player for a second consecutive season. Sources telling ESPN a formal announcement expected this week. Gentlemen, good to see you. Stephen A., JJ, hi.
Hi. Wonderful week in Tigris. All right. It's good to see you.
This guy.
Good to see you.
It's hard to get dressed every day. Do you agree with the Joker winning MVP? Because you had a vote.
Well, here's the hard part. No, I don't disagree. Yes, I disagree with it.
Okay.
Because I voted for Embiid. But I have no problem with Jokic being in. I mean, what the brother average? I got it right here, Jay. 27, 13, and 8. Without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr., knowing that you're the reigning league MVP and everybody's game planning for you on a night-in, night-out basis, I voted for Embiid. Mm-hmm. I thought the level of adversity that Jokic went through without having those two players, as significant as that was, is an entirely different animal with the nonsense that Joel Embiid was subjected to because of the whole drama that involved Ben Simmons. Yet, he held it down. He did what he did. James Harden arrived. He still did what he did. And I think that when you've seen the greatness from a Joel Embiid the way that we have this year, I was just of the mindset that he deserved the league MVP. But I can't sneeze at Jokic because it was a nip-and-tuck race. It was very close, JJ. Yeah. I really, really can't have a problem with
this. I'm just glad that this is has been announced and it's over and we can stop debating this. Because this season has been probably one of the best MVP races that I can remember, at least over the course of my career and this generation of basketball. Mm-hmm. And really, I think there's three guys, Giannis, Joel, Jokic, any one of those guys would be deserving winners this year.
Right.
And I also don't fault people if they wanted to vote and say Devin Booker was the MVP.
I was raving about him too.
Best player on the best team, held it down when CP was out with a hand injury. In terms of Jokic, though, you know, his impact, he mentioned the stat line. No one's ever put up a stat line like that before. And when you look at his impact on that team, his on-off rating, it's insane what he was able to do this year and get that team to the playoffs.
I'm curious if this is going to fire up Embiid even more.
Yeah, it could be. But in fairness, let's say this about Embiid. And again, I voted for Embiid. Mm-hmm. Let's say this about Embiid. In the midst of an MVP race that everybody and their mother knew was so, so tight, Giannis came to Philly and beat you. Jokic came to Philly and beat you. And even though Durant and Kyrie weren't a part of the equation, with all the noise emanating out of the whole James Harden trade from Brooklyn to Philadelphia, they came to Philly and annihilated you. And so when you look at it from that perspective, the fact that the race was so close, even though it wasn't his fault, because he played well in all of those games.
Yeah.
Not the Brooklyn game, but against Milwaukee, against Denver. The bottom line is those are the kind of moments that can cost you
a
trophy like the MVP.
You know who didn't come to Philly and beat him, masked up in the playoffs? That'd be the Miami Heat. Let's go. We have a series, folks. That was the theme of Sunday, evening it up. Joel Embiid bringing new life to Philly, back for a second game and second win. The Heat and Sixers now tied at 2 apiece, and much of that due to a vintage James Harden performance. Harden hot, putting up 31 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds that ultimately led to the victory. James, what do you attribute the turnaround to?
We're getting more confident, you know, as the series goes on. You know what I mean? Like, those first two games was a blur. But obviously having Joe and having our full team, you know, we kind of know what to expect. We know where to execute on both ends of the ball. You know, it just makes the job a lot easier. You know, think about it, we're still a fairly new team. You know what I mean? We're down to 2 months in. So, you know, when we finally catch a rhythm and finally find something that works, you know, Joe goes out for a couple games. So we're finally settling into the series, and we found some great things that'll work tonight and that we can, you know, capitalize on for game five.
Had some great basketball this weekend. Important to mention, folks, Kyle Lowry re-injured his left hamstring. His status unknown for game five in Miami. Stephen A.
Yeah.
Vintage Harden, finally. Is your boy back?
No, I'm not going to go that far. Not yet. In the playoffs, he's shooting, in this series specifically, he's shooting 40% from the field and 34% from three-point range, and that was improved based off of last night's performance. One game does not make a series, and one game does not make an individual. I will tell you, it was great to see it, because when you saw it, the first thing that came to your mind is, oh, so he is still capable of this. He can still do this, because we need to see more of it. We didn't see the separation. We saw some of it last night. We didn't see his ability to make contested three-point shots. We saw that last night. We saw him get into the hole, but more importantly, we saw him being aggressive. He was looking to make things happen. I will remind everybody that since he arrived in Philadelphia, he has not attempted 20 shots in any game as a Philadelphia 76er. That's not something that you expect from a guy that's a three-time, four-time league scoring champion, as prolific of an offensive powerhouse as he is. So the fact that we saw that last night, I thought was a big, big deal. But I'm not going to go so far as to say he's back. Let me see you do it in game five at Miami. Let me see you do it back in game six in Philadelphia. Let me see you do it if there is a game seven.
Okay.
That is when I will make that determination.
JJ, what did that all mean to you?
Stephen A., this is a big moment for you. I just want to acknowledge it.
Okay.
Because I have accused you at times of being a prisoner of the moment. And to see this growth from you, I'm very appreciative of it. No, Stephen A. nailed it here. Look, he had 15 straight games where he hadn't had 25 or more. Mm-hmm. This is only his second 30-point game in a Sixers uniform. Mm. I talked about this with Ryan Rucco on the broadcast Friday. Right. So much of what's missing has been that step back three. Mm-hmm. He's still struggled in game four from two, but the four step back threes, that's what we haven't seen in so long from James. I don't think James has to be vintage James for Philly to win this series, though. I don't think he has to score 30 points or take 20 shots because of all the other options they have. A Tyrese Maxey, 22 points a game on 50, 40, 90. Tobias is your fourth option, is averaging basically 18-8, 50% from the field, 37% from three. He's been solid all playoffs. So I don't necessarily think James has to do this every game for them to advance.
I agree with that.
It was a welcome sight, though, because we've talked about this now for the past few weeks. Like, when are we going to get one of these vintage James Harden?
We needed to see the aggression, though. We needed to see a dude that wants the ball. Now, he only attempted 18 shots. It wasn't like he attempted 25 shots or anything like that. But he hit shots when he counted. And it was with no hesitation. And let's give our man Kenny Smith on TNT props when he said last night, if you're talking about James Harden, 4 seconds are left. I believe that's what he said. Don't think about anything. Attack or dish. That's what you should be doing. And let's also take a moment to give some love to Tobias Harris in this regard. Tobias Harris was a second offensive option when the season started because Ben Simmons wasn't there and Tyrese Maxey hadn't elevated to this point. Y'all do understand that Tobias Harris can average 20 anytime he wants to. You do understand that. Let's understand. We get lost in the sauce about him a little bit sometimes. The brother's a legit 6'7", 6'8". He's got a perimeter game. He can finish at the basket. He's got an athletic body. He's got an NBA body. He's strong enough to do these things. The guy went from a second option, not to a third, but to a fourth option. And yet, he came in to last night, I believe, was he averaging like 24 a game in this series or whatever? Better than 50% shooting? Let's give Tobias Harris some love, too. And you're absolutely right. If Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey do what they're capable and what we've seen them do thus far this series, here's where James becomes pivotal. He doesn't have to shoot 25 shots.
Wait,
but he has to be aggressive.
Hold on. This is what I want to know, though. Are you guys now more confident in Philly or Miami?
Yeah. Say what you're going to say.
I just wanted to piggyback on one other James thing, and that's just his response in that press conference where he says what's been different. And He says, well, you know, we're gaining more confidence as the series goes on. What's been different?
Right.
They have Joel Embiid in the lineup.
Yeah. That's right.
They didn't have him game one and game
That's
two.
That's right.
We saw the value of Joel in game three. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a great night shooting the basketball.
Doesn't matter.
Defensively was great.
Yep.
His presence opens up everything.
Right.
And so much of this shooting swing that we saw from game one, game two, mm-hmm. Philly, to how well they shot in mm-hmm. game three, game four,
right.
is because he was on the floor.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. Yeah. But now let's get to if the series is shifting, right? Because we felt like people were making their I'm not going to name names. You know, making reservations in Miami.
It was me.
Things
it was me.
Like
I already got my reservation.
Things like that are happening.
Okay.
So it's all tied up now.
But let me say this.
Who do you have more confidence in?
I still believe in Miami for this series. And let me say this. I got a few text messages last night from the Sixers organization ribbing me because I got a lot of people in there I love. I worked there for 17 years, for crying out loud. I know a lot of people within that organization. They're like, heat and five my ass. That's what they said to me last night via text because I predicted. I said, no. I predicted the Heat in five if Embiid didn't play. If Embiid did play, I got him in seven. I still got the win in the series, but I will tell you this. It's become very, very interesting, and here's why. I didn't expect to see what I saw from James Harden last night. He's switching now, but I know Philly can win this series now if that James Harden shows up for the rest of the series because I believe in Maxey and I believe in Tobias Harris. I think they're going to do their job. And Joel Embiid is just a superstar. And I think he's going to elevate his level of attitude now that he didn't get the league MVP award. I got a question for you, though, because you covered – I think – which game did you call? You called game three,
called
right?
game three.
You called game three. What the hell is going on? Why is Duncan Robinson not playing for
you? I was going to bring this up.
Because I need you to bring – I'm like, the dude getting paid $90 million now. I mean, listen – Pat Riley and Mickey Arison and these brothers didn't elect to pay him, and Andy Ellsberg and those boys didn't elect to pay him to be sitting on the bench. The dude ain't playing at all. And I understand he could be a defensive liability, and he ain't the greatest ball handler in the world. But when you have a sniper like him, the guy that's capable of dropping 8 or 9 threes in a playoff game the way he did in the first round, how he's not playing now, I was asking you, is he injured? Is something going on? I don't understand how you can't find – if you're the great Eric Spoelstra, who I believe to be a great coach, how is this dude not playing at all?
So a couple things to that. First of all, prior to this weekend, game 3 and 4 mm-hmm. in Philly, the Heat were 20-3 with Max Strus in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened during that period of time with Strus in the starting lineup – is Victor Oladipo came back.
Okay.
And he's given them some really good minutes.
They
probably trust him more as a playmaker and defensively. So I think both of those things are why Duncan is not playing. When we talk about this series, there's a number of things you can point to. You can talk about him being back in the lineup. You can talk about vintage Harden. You can talk about Jimmy Butler probably being the best player in this series and all that. But this series really is a swing series based on who's shooting threes.
Yeah.
Who's shooting threes. And you look at what Philly did at home, 32 of 66 from three in game 3 and 4, 14 of 64 in game 1 and 2 in Miami. Miami was 14 of 65 from three in Philly. So going forward, whether it's another two games or another three games, whoever makes the most threes probably has the best chance.
I think Philly's winning it.
I'm gonna get to my pick in a second.
That's what I want.
The other thing I wanted to just point out, and it's a weird development. Joel Embiid, I talk about him all the time.
Okay.
Just his defensive presence and how valuable that is, and him on the basketball court, you basically have the equivalent of a league best defense almost every year.
Okay.
We saw in the first round against Toronto, mm-hmm. them target him one-on-one as the primary defender. And we saw that again last night. Miami was 12 of 18 with him as the primary defender. Second half, because Miami went small, Joel ended up guarding Jimmy Butler a lot in the half court.
That's
Jimmy
right.
was
Jimmy
5
Butler
for
was
6.
Abusing
oh, abusing.
Abusing.
5
right,
for 6.
Right.
So that's another thing to watch, I think, throughout the rest of the series is them attacking, not necessarily when he's in that drop coverage, because he's so good there, but as the primary defender. The other thing, Stephen, have you noticed – for two teams, like Doc Rivers team with good defenders, a Miami team with good defenders, there's been so much zone in this series.
Well, here's the reason why. Let me tell you this. First of all, again, part of it is you want to dare dudes to shoot. That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, you're trying to protect certain people. Like in the case of Joel Embiid, let's understand something. Here's why you attack a Joel Embiid right now for two reasons. First of all, he's got the thumb injury.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's going to be reluctant to really, really use that. Number two, you say, I don't give a damn what anybody says. Okay, you can wear a mask or you want to. You're going to be sensitive to that eye.
Yeah.
So you got two things that you're sensitive to, right? And so their mentality is attack him. Either he's going to be passive, or he's going to be ultra-aggressive, and he might get himself in foul trouble so we can get him out of the game and home and negate their chances. So I think they're thinking along those lines. To get back to your point about Oladipo and Struss, I totally understand that thinking, because it's really good to see Oladipo back, because people forget what an all-star caliber player this brother was. So it's really good to see him back, but you still got to find time for a sniper. You got a time. They shot, what was it, 7 for 35 from three-point range yesterday? You can't have that. Yeah. You, if you're the Miami Heat, you've got to be able to be a formidable threat from the perimeter. If you can't pull that off, you're not going to win this series.
100%. And I want to get to my pick in the series right now. Look, I've talked about the Miami Heat all season as being one of the most dangerous teams. I had them winning the series with or without Embiid when the playoffs started.
Right.
I'm going to change that pick.
Yeah! Okay. Now we're talking.
You're entitled.
After these last two games, and again, maybe I'm getting caught up.
Because I said Philly ahead of time, and I know Philly's going to win, and I like the confirmation.
But
and you're feeling bad about your pick right now. I know you're having a little anxiety.
The other thing Miami has to solve is like the non-Jimmy Butler minutes. Mm-hmm. He played most all of Game 3 and Game 4. I think there were 16 minutes he wasn't on the floor. They lost those minutes by 22 points.
Yes.
He's got can he go 45, 46 minutes for three straight games, given the amount of playmaking?
I will say this to you. I don't think he'll have to win one more game. I think he will need to win two.
Two more, yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is that you probably will do that in Game 5 to assure Game 5. You'll take your chances Game 6 to make sure he's ready for Game 7, if indeed it requires that he goes 48 minutes. The disappointment that I have is that where are the other dudes? Because, Jimmy, this ain't that. Yeah. Miami has never been a team about one guy. You've been a team about a multitude of individuals, a Bam Adebayo, a Tyler Hero, the reigning sixth man of the year. Struss obviously can shoot. Gabe Vincent, he could do some things. And again, I'm going to bring up Duncan Robinson because I firmly believe in snipers. Snipers change the complexion of a game. They give you that extra added boost when you need it. And you need shooters out on the court against the Philadelphia 76ers when Embiid is out there. Without Embiid, no problem. But with Embiid, you need that stuff out there in order to knock it. I want to remind everybody, Miami wasn't out of this game. It was midway through the fourth quarter. They were still in the game. They were still within striking distance. They get blown out now. So we got to take those things into consideration and understand they were still in a position to steal this. They didn't do it. I think this goes 7. I'm still going with Miami in a game 7 down in South Beach.
Okay. In the words of Kendrick Perkins, I'm sorry for your loss. I won't do a J. Will and bet a suit or anything.
Molly, you're picking the Sixers?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, listen.
And if you want to go records in the past, especially Super Bowls, you want to lean with
me. I will be ecstatic for Embiid. I definitely would be ecstatic for my man Doc Rivers. And I'd be happy for James Harden as well. I'd be sad for myself because of my plans.
Oh, my goodness.
In South Beach. You know, I would not be happy.
Can I tell you a great secret? I think, June 25th, when the finals end, you can go out there for like a month, rent a house, live your best life.
See, you're missing something about the importance of basketball. Like, for example, L.A., the sunshine is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't the same when the Lakers are irrelevant. It's not the same. Chicago.
You're saying Miami's not the same when the Heat aren't?
I'm telling you right now, it's a different flavor when Miami is playing. I'm not saying that you can't have a good time, but it's a different vibe in the air.
There's always flavor in Miami.
It's a different vibe in the air when the playoffs are going on in South Beach. Let me be very, very clear.
All right. I thought there was always flavor in Miami.
Yeah, I said more, Molly. I didn't say it was devoid of any. I said more. More matters.
Okay.
I never know where this show's going to go.
Yeah. And please never say more like that again. Let's get to another series that is now tied up. Phoenix in Dallas. Oh, my goodness. Where was not Chris Paul's night? CP, you practicing your Spanish? CP3 put up 5-5-7 in 23 minutes before fouling out of Sunday's 111-101 loss to Dallas. Here's the point guard on the fouls.
I gotta look back at it. You know what I mean? I can't put myself in the situations to give them that ability to do that. You know what I mean? So I just gotta look at myself and figure out how to be better.
If you had to pick one place the team has to adjust after these last two games, where would it be?
I don't know. I gotta look at the film, figure it out. It was like a blur tonight.
The Suns will look to bounce back when the series shifts back to Phoenix on Tuesday, knotted at 2-2. JJ, I'll start with you. How much of these losses are on Chris Paul specifically?
A lot of them are, but basketball obviously is a team sport. You go to game three, the 7 turnovers, game 4, and foul trouble the whole time. I had a real problem with his 5th foul. CP is one of the smartest basketball players I know. He knows all the rules. And that move where he ran in front of Jalen Brunson and then fell down, he has done that throughout his career. He'll get the ball after a rebound, he'll find a big, he'll run in front of the big and fall over and get the foul. The problem is they changed that rule, and now it's an offensive foul, and CP knows that. So in that moment, for him to make a decision like that, again, not to overkill the word befuddling, but it was befuddling, that moment. I actually would like to give Dallas some credit here.
Yeah.
Because after game 1 and 2, Jason Kidd talked about someone else joining the party with Luka Doncic.
That's right.
And we got a big game
Dorian
3.
Smith, yeah.
Jalen Brunson, 28 points in game 3. Last night, Dorian Finney-Smith, 8 threes, 24 points, showing his value as a two-way player. But even the other role players, Reggie Bullock, Davis Bertans, Maxi Kleber, they all had big moments in Game 3 and Game 4. So as much as it is about CP's struggles, a little bit of Mikal Bridges' struggles, a little bit of campaign struggles, yeah, it's all that. But give Dallas some credit for those guys stepped up.
Well, let me break this down. Here's how you give Dallas credit. They got 5, count them, 5 dudes that are hitting threes. Bertans at, 53% from 3. You got Dinwiddie and Bullock at 40% from 3. Kleber at 44% from 3. Finney-Smith after yesterday at 48% shooting from 3-point range. That's 5 dudes that shooting threes that's surrounding, you know, Luka Doncic. And, of course, Jalen Brunson dropped 28 in game 3. So Dallas deserves credit for stepping up and answering the call that Jason Kidd made to them. He deserves a whole boatload of credit for the way he's coaching. And Nico Harrison for the trade that got rid of Porzingis. And you got Bertans and Dinwiddie. And they're both making contributions, especially in game 4. I like that. But let's be real about something. CP3 was awful. It's my brother. I love him dearly. We gonna call it like we see it because it's not gonna last. Okay, that will be corrected. But we gotta be honest, okay, and talk about, well, in game 3, you had a career high in turnovers in the first half, okay? All right, 7 in the first half. That's game 3. Game 4, you finished with more fouls than points. I mean, that's just pathetic. There's just no way to slice that. And we can say that about CP3 with a smile on our face, because it ain't going to last. If there's ever a brother that's going to look at it, and when he says he's going to look at film and he's going to figure it out, he's going to look at film, he's going to figure it out. There's no reason to believe otherwise. And so you're talking about a situation where it's Monty Williams who defers a lot to CP3. CP3 knowing the mind that he has and the mind that Jason Kidd has. So you're basically having a point guard battle between a coach and a point guard on the floor. You're going to pay attention to all of that. But other cats on Phoenix have got to step up. And I'm going to call out Devin Booker here, even though he had 35 yesterday. In this regard, you're that dude. First team All-NBA, MVP candidate. There are moments where it has to be, give me the damn ball.
You don't think it was that yesterday?
And I think he tried. I think he tried, and I think to some degree.
Listen,
they got the ball. Don't get me wrong. There were times when they blitzed him a little bit, got the ball out of his hands. I'm just simply saying that when we see, because I think that Booker has that potential to be talked about as one of the all-time greats, the way we talk about some others. I think moments like that, you have to find a way to take the hell over and match bucket for bucket if you have to. It's not his fault. It's not a negative. I'm just saying that Devin Booker has that potential. And I think that, you know, we're going to have to see that because, again, Dallas is no joke. They're no joke.
You don't think it was
Phoenix
more, though, that the fact they just couldn't get a stop and Dorian Finney-Smith just went crazy?
No, I agree. No, of course it is. Like, of course I saw that. It's like Bertans hit 4 straight threes in the first half.
You look at, like, Mikal Bridges, CP, DeAndre Ayton. they were all fantastic against the Pelicans. In this series,
right.
across the board, mm-hmm. their numbers are all down.
Right.
I didn't mention Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. To me, he's doing his job. And I just want to...
I didn't say he wasn't doing his job, though. I'm just talking about...
Okay. Right, I know what you're saying.
Okay. Right.
But I think if Devin Booker says, I'm going to go into Kobe mode, they're still not winning that game yesterday.
Well, what I'm saying to you is this. They couldn't get a stop. But what... If you remember in game two, CP3 goes crazy. I mean,
In the fourth quarter.
Yes, yeah. He went berserk. He departs from after staying Dallas's bench down, looking mm-hmm. at them, and just demoralized them because they couldn't stop him. And then Booker and Monty Williams are together and smiling and laughing. And then Booker comes in the game and hits three straight threes. They close the deal. What I'm trying to say to you, and you know this better than me, there are certain moments from a star caliber individual that can demoralize another franchise. So it's like, there's nothing we can do. And I'm saying to you that when you see Dallas coming at you that way, we saw them coming before Finney Smith exploded. We saw them coming in the quarters before that. I'm saying there comes a moment in time where you got a sense. CP3's already in foul trouble with four fouls in the first half. You got to look at it and go like this. Give me the damn ball. We gonna cut this off right now before anything transpires. That's what I'm talking about.
I want to just say, too, I'll take some of the blame here for CP's horrible weekend because I had Tim Legler on the podcast, and one of the topics we talked about was, is this the best version of CP that we've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
And then the dude turns 37 on Friday, and he looks 45. I mean, this is
it's just a bad weekend.
It's a bad weekend. He had a bad
Mother's
weekend.
Mother's Day on top of the birthday. Weekend. I mean, dang.
Phoenix is still winning this series.
Yes, I believe so as well. But
Speaking
Dallas is no
Day.
Joke. Dallas is no joke.
Speaking of Mother's Day, I want to talk about actually an incident involving his mother and his wife. So let's get to that off-the-court issue. So the Mavericks removed a fan after an incident with Chris Paul's family. Paul tweeting, after the game four in Dallas, want to find players for saying stuff to the fans, but the fans can put hands on our families. Bump that. Paul's mom, wife, and two children watched the game close to the Suns bench, and his mom had hands put on her, and his wife was pushed, a source telling our Dave McMenamin, adding that Paul's kids were there to witness it all. Dallas said in a statement that it's unacceptable behavior will not be tolerated by the Mavericks, along with American Airlines Center swiftly removing the fan from the game. Stephen A.?
Well, let me say one thing off the bat.
Okay.
That tweet by Chris Paul was actually inaccurate. Who said they can put hands on their fans? The fan was removed from the arena immediately. The Dallas Mavericks quickly addressed the situation. Clearly, it's not allowed. And so the point is that, you know, when you make a statement like that with respect to the former president of the Players Association, who is universally respected, particularly his brilliance, his acumen. The fact of the matter is that there isn't a fan in today's NBA that can get away with doing something and they know it and they don't do something about it. We saw the great LeBron James, who never, ever did this in his career, literally walk over and pointed out a fan to security and had that fan removed. We saw somebody stupidly try to do something to Russell Westbrook, and they found out who that fan was, and they had him removed. We saw another fan do something in Utah as it pertained to Russell Westbrook, and that was addressed. And so let's be very, very clear. There are absolutely, positively a few stupid, idiotic fans that look like a kid, and that's really no excuse. You're old enough to know better. Somebody, his parents should slap him upside his head and get him to act right because he embarrassed their name by acting like a fool, all right? But he was removed from the game. But by and large, you have most fans who know better and act better. Now, in defense of the NBA players like Chris Paul and others, there are fans that get out of control. And I'm not talking, they never do anything physically because they know better, because you ain't going to do things to these guys' face. You do it while you're in the stands and stuff like that because you know you're insulated and protected, at least from physical harm from these guys. But that's given them a license to do things that they shouldn't be doing. There are things that no player, no professional athlete should be subjected to. And I am an advocate, not in this particular case. If he put his hands on somebody, arrest is behind. And the last part that I want to say is this, as it pertains to defense of Chris Paul, because people were looking at him at a press conference and he was talking to people. He didn't seem focused or whatever. Let me tell y'all something. God rest her wonderful soul. If my mother, if somebody ever had put their hands on my mother, there is no laws. I'll think about the law later. I'm going to look to do something to you. That's just not happening. And so when you talk about family members, your mother, your wife, your children, all of a sudden, all this other stuff is not, that takes second place. You got to deal with them. A matter of, and if that kid had actually done something, you know what? I would have been a proponent of him getting his ass whipped right there at the arena. Because who you think you are touching somebody?
You remember when Antonio Davis went up in the stands? When
I didn't blame him.
Because somebody was messing with his wife?
I didn't blame him.
Yeah. You know, it really is unfortunate that this happened. And I agree with you. Look, there's a sentiment amongst a very small percentage of fans that because I paid a lot of money for my tickets and I'm sitting close to the court, I can say whatever I want
and do
whatever I want with no recourse. And by and large, there is recourse every single time. Whether Chris's tweet was accurate or not, you brought up a perfect point. Whether it was the press conference or this tweet, the emotions that he must have felt to hear and see someone messing with his mother, his wife in front of his kids, there's just no place for it.
Nope.
There's just no place for it.
And go into protective mode. Yeah.
That's exactly. Exactly. All logic, all rationale goes out the window.
It goes out the window.
Yeah.
It goes out the window, especially when it comes to your family. And in particular, let's be real, any decent man is going to feel that way, but especially when it comes to their mama.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to their mama.
Yeah.
On Mother's Day.
Yes.
On Mother's Day.
And his
mama. I mean, come on.
Of course. All right. We'll leave it there, guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Much of the talk after the Warriors Game 3 win, John Morant's knee injury. Jordan Poole grabbed Morant's right knee in the fourth quarter during a trap near half court in Golden State's 142-112 Game 3 win. Morant likely to miss Game 4 with a knee injury. Head coach Taylor Jenkins said on Sunday, Jaws officially listed as doubtful. Poole called his action a basketball play, and hopefully he gets better. And, you know, we can see him out there the next game. I don't even play like that for real. That's not my type of game. Memphis coach Taylor Jenkins said, there was a grab. I'm just curious what happened. And Ja tweeted, broke the code, in reference to Steve Kerr earlier this series, then deleted it. Here's Steph on that pool play.
It's unfortunate that is a conversation right now, because obviously nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. But there's nothing malicious about what Jordan did. There's no comparison to what Dylan did or Draymond, like nothing in that vein. So it's not a joking matter that Ja's hurt, but all the rest of it's just total BS in terms of the conversation right now. So I remember that term they came up with, hot stove contact. That's what it felt like. Keep it moving.
JJ, do you agree with Poole not getting suspended here?
I do agree. And from my perspective, mm-hmm. again, I haven't spoken with Jordan, but I take him at his word. I take that their team at their word. This, to me, was an unfortunate incidental play, but Jordan reaching in there for a loose ball was a basketball play. I think it's important to note as well, you know, Ja Morant had missed 9 games this spring with right knee soreness. There is another video of him hitting that right knee on Klay Thompson. So we don't know if, you know, that was necessary, that little yank. The other thing, the angle of the yank, I mean, I've watched it in slow-mo a million times. Like, he's basically grabbing his shin bone, and it's a little tug. It's not, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I didn't see anything in this. And then, unfortunately, of course, as Steph mentioned, nobody wants to see Ja get hurt. Certainly not a me as a fan. I want to see the Grizzlies at full strength going against Steph and
Absolutely.
The Warriors.
Couple of things. Number one, it was not a dirty play. Number two, I hate when they slow-mo stuff sometimes, because in real time, look at how quick that play happened. You trying to tell me that was Jordan Poole's intent? Come on, that's ridiculous. If you watch it in real time, it happened so fast, and he was reaching for the ball, and then ultimately, it looked like he grabbed at his knee a little bit, but that wasn't intentional. It was so quick. How do you know that? That's number two. Number three, let's call it what it is. There's some gamesmanship going on. Memphis is bitter because Steve Kerr brought up about, you know, breaking the code and stuff like that when Dylan Brooks clotheslined Gary Payton, got himself suspended. They probably thought that he got ejected from the game and that's all that was going to happen. But then, because Steve Kerr opened his mouth after game one and complained the way that he did, he got Dylan Brooks suspended for game two. So let's see what we can do to try and get Jordan Poole suspended for game four. That's probably what the thinking was when you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, because they're like, they don't like the fact that one of their players is down. So how do you feel? How would you feel if one of your players was down? This is the kind of stuff that happens. But this is the thing that bothers me that nobody has brought up. Ja Morant is a superstar. This brother is spectacular. He's special, okay? I think he's a bigger version of Allen Iverson. Reminds me of Russell Westbrook in his earlier days, even though Russell Westbrook is still incredibly athletic. But I'm just saying, the way that the fervor with which he plays, the way he attacks the basket. Some of those things that Ja Morant do, as much as we ooh and ah over it, it's not good for his long-term career. It's not good from a longevity standpoint, because he's not a guy. Like, for example, Allen Iverson was a pretty durable dude. Ja Morant has missed some games. What have we marveled over? How the Memphis Grizzlies have looked without Ja Morant. We know they're not better without him. We know he's the superstar of that team. We know his value to the team and to the NBA, because I'm sick and tired of seeing them damn Elvis posters in Memphis. They need to put Ja Morant posters up in there, not Elvis, okay? Elvis is dead. Everybody know Elvis is dead. So just let it go. But I will say this.
So harsh when
but
you say
it's
that.
The truth. But I will
it's
say this. I will say this. Still in all, because of the games we've seen him miss already in his young career, he might want to be careful, because some of those plays that he makes, who knows what level, what ultimately will happen to him health-wise, particularly his knees. When you see a young guy with knee injuries, I get worried, JJ.
I actually do hate to make this comparison between whether it's Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, John Wall, like any of these sort of 6'3 and under, highly explosive attack the rim guards. Mm-hmm. There has to be for long-term health. There has to be some sort of evolution to the game, and this is where, like, I think Ja maybe, and Derrick Rose did this, by the way. He turned himself into a great mid-range shooter. Mm-hmm. He turned himself into a respectable three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Ja has shot the ball really well here. He's so reliant on that floater that that's his mid-range shot. So if he can sort of continue to rely on that floater and develop as a three-point shooter, then that's the evolution long-term for him.
Long-term, because it's only, by the way, just as an aside, you brought up John Wall, because we've had no reason to bring up John Wall whatsoever. Let me say this to John Wall. I know y'all are saying that the Houston Rockets asked you, you know, to sit out or whatever. First of all, they deny that. They wanted you to come off the bench. But secondly, John Wall, even if it's true, at the end of the day, considering the fact that you are a baller and making over $40 million, it would behoove you to make some noise and look a bit uncomfortable about sitting on the bench and not playing when you're fully healthy and ready to go. I want to remind the world, John Wall can play some damn ball. So play, damn it. Play.
He needed to get that off his chest. I got to go back to John Wall catching strays today on my bingo card.
I didn't either, but you brought it up.
That was
a perfect excuse for me to get in a John Wall, getting paid for
that. So we blame you.
Play, my brother. You're good. Great.
Okay.
Play.
Let's focus on the playoffs. JJ, is this series over regardless of Ja's status?
Okay. No, it's not. I do think the Warriors will win the series, and they'll end up playing the Suns in the conference finals. But there are some things. If you're the Memphis Grizzlies, you're 20-5 in the regular season without Ja Morant. They're better defensively without Ja Morant. If they can get Desmond Bane going, his usage rate, his stats in those 25 games when Ja was out exceeded what his production levels when Ja was in the game. So give some credit to Steph Curry, who's been his primary defender most of this series. Jordan Poole has also been his primary defender for a lot of this series. And those guys have just really limited him. They're better defensively. They believe because they've done it. And you can argue about the quality of those 20 wins in the regular season. I get all that. But they believe they can do it. They can get Bane going. And Ja can come back at some point in this series. I think they can still get to seven games.
Okay. You danced like Fred Astaire right there, but that's okay. That's okay. It happens. Let me be very, very clear to you. Series is over. I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. Series is over. Memphis Grizzlies, number love for y'all. Y'all the future, okay? Series is over. I don't believe Memphis is winning this series. I didn't believe it to begin with, but let me be more emphatically clear. They ain't winning game four. And if they ain't winning game four, you ain't beating Golden State three straight. That's why I say it's over. Now, it's still a possibility it could go six because I could see you going back to Memphis. I could see Ja Morant down 3-0 coming out there, you know, and showing what Ja can only show, okay? You win game five, you make things interesting for game six, all right, for three quarters. And then Golden State says, okay, lights out. It's time, okay? And they do what they do. The Golden State Warriors, here's what you I get where you're coming from because you want to be cautious about what Memphis can do. My problem is you ain't mentioned what Golden State has been doing. Mm. Offensively, where was Memphis' defense? Where were they? You talk about Steph, you talk about Klay, you talk about Jordan Poole. Klay had to show up, and he showed up after that APB was out for him after games one and two. Couldn't find him, was looking around all over the damn place. We found Klay Thompson in game three. We know what Jordan Poole can do. We know what Steph can do. And then we talk about Wiggins and Kuminga coming on the court because you needed somebody now that Gary Payton II is out due to the clothesline from Dylan Brooks. You needed somebody that was a bit long, athletic, that could potentially challenge the Jaws of the world when they got to the rim. You ain't gonna stop Ja by any stretch of the imagination, but you can make things a bit more difficult. So I'm thinking about the contribution from a Kuminga. I'm looking at Otto Porter Jr. to go with Steph Klay and Jordan Poole, please. This series is over. They will lose tonight, okay? They will go back to Memphis down 3-1. They'll probably win game five, and then they're going to come back to the Bay, and it's going to get closed out. That is my belief. Could I be wrong? Sure. But I doubt it. It's over.
Didn't have that confidence about Miami Philly, I'll tell you that much.
That's fair.
We'll leave it
that's
there.
I am a little bit more nervous about
tonight at 10
Philly
Eastern.
With Miami than I am with
know
Golden y'all. State.
I just want to make a point, because
sure.
you brought this up. Game three was the most Warriors-esque game.
Yes, on their home court.
That I think we've seen from them in the playoffs. No.
Because Clay, right?
Even the first round?
Well,
I saw some of that. I saw some of that first round.
They were playing against one guy.
I'm just telling you, I saw that. You just said you didn't see it until this one. I'm saying I saw it in the first round. I didn't say who it was.
A lot of guys with low basketball.
Okay, I got you. But I saw it.
But this is what they weren't doing in game one and two in Memphis. We saw the player movement, the ball movement, mm-hmm. the quick decisions. They're very hard to guard. And by the way, my first time on the show back in November, the Warriors were 8-1. And, like, you basically said the season was over. So, like, of course I'm not surprised that you're saying the series is over.
I didn't say the season was over. I said the Warriors are coming. They're going to win the chip. You know, and that jury's still out. But they winning this series.
All right.
They winning this series. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. They probably going to
finals. Take that, W.
They know I don't feel like, listen, I love Monty and Chris Paul and all that. They know I don't feel like being the Phoenix of them damn Coyotes. They know that.
Oh, here we go.
Even though the Bay Area is like feels like New York, I don't need that either. I mean, I need warm weather, you know, but I'm just saying. It's just
me. Do you need anything else right now? Are you good right now, temperature-wise? Do you need
protein
a drink?
Here's
a protein smoothie? Okay, I got a blender in my office.
I have one.
I didn't know that.
I do have a blender.
Oh, damn,
and
I'm
I have
using
protein
that.
Powder.
Go ahead, Dre. I'm definitely
powder.
Using that.
We'll get that going for you.
What would be sort of your ideal finals, just for you, for your own comfort, for your own happiness,
me?
Two cities that you would like to spend time in?
Let me say this to you.
You really need to ask
the Lakers already ruined that. Everybody and their mother knows
I'm saying with these teams.
Oh, with these teams. Okay. I was going to say Lakers, Miami.
Obviously.
But purely from a basketball standpoint, I would tell you this. Golden State, Boston. Mm-hmm. From a basketball perspective.
Yeah. It's also good for direct flights.